Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
You're listening to Mile High Insiders with Nick Kendall and Luke Patterson. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Now, it's time to find out what's going on behind the walls of UC Health Training Center.
Broncos country, what is up? It is Wednesday night, the night before Thursday Night Football, the night before a Broncos game, the night before Sean Payton's return to New Orleans. And look who stopped by the show. Chad Jensen joining with me on MHI tonight. What is up, Chad? How are we feeling?
Dude, I'm feeling good, but my microphone's not playing ball. Thankfully, Mr. Producer caught that it's coming through the wrong microphone. So give it a sec. There we go. There's my beautiful shirt, and I should be sounding normal now.
Boom. Sounding normal, looking good, ready for some action. Broncos country, here we go. Week 7, we're going to get into some leftovers, right? We got to talk about that dreaded Chargers game, but more so, we got to get to the news of the day. Broncos Saints injury report before the big Week 7 tilt. Sean Payton's return. Chad, I've got a bitter taste in my mouth after that Chargers loss. It's a bummer. Ultimately, the Broncos fall to 3-3, but it's another loss at home. Why can't the Broncos seem to do well at home? I mean, they did great in those 1977 throwbacks. They throw out, what, the blue pants this week, and then the Broncos completely drop the ball.
Honestly, bro, I think it is, and I almost forgot. I made all that to-do about connecting Instagram and then almost forgot. But I think it's more emblematic of what this team is, the inconsistency of a young team. It's like if you look at the Mile High Roundtable, for example, week in and week out, we all cover this team and we have many, some of us for over a decade. We know what we're talking about, but none of us have very good records. I think Keith Cummings is actually has the best record currently amongst the MHH staff at like 4-2. And it's not that we don't know what we're talking about. It's that a young team like this, as inexperienced as it is, with a rookie quarterback, you just kind of like Forrest Gump and his box of chocolates. You never quite know what you're going to get. It's a far cry, Luke, from those days, those precious, beautiful, comforting days where Peyton Manning was under center and you could just kind of set and forget and be like, wake me up in the divisional round, right? Like those days are long gone. This is the inverted aspect of that. That was Peyton Manning, you know, 14 years into his NFL career. We got a ways to go yet with Bo Nix before it gets to that point. So I think, honestly, Luke, to answer your question, the woes at home, bro, it's more due just simply to the fact that this is a team that's still kind of finding its way and learning how to win. I know we're sick of that. It's been 8 years, but when you draft a rookie quarterback and start him out of the gates, that's what you got to expect a little bit.
You almost have to take a step back because I feel like the Broncos trap us here in the media, us here in Broncos country when they win games, because they haven't won a lot of football games the last 8-9 years, Chad. So when they finally win a game, they go on a 3-game winning streak. It took them to hit the road to get there. I get excited. And then when they lose a game, it's the worst thing in the world. We have overreaction Mondays. You have to ultimately take a step back. This is about Bo Nix. Is it truly about 2024 or is it about 2025, 2026 and beyond? It's about the maturation of Bo Nix. Can he connect with Sean Payton? What other pieces do the Broncos need moving forward? It's hard to remember that amid winnable games that the Broncos continue to cough up. We're going to get into that and more. New Orleans Saints week, primetime football, Broncos country. How are we feeling? Let's say hello to some of the friends and folks in the chat, starting with Papa Bear. What's up, Dave? $2 super over on YouTube saying, good evening, Broncos country. Let's go, Bo. Hashtag 10 and 7. Chad, as you know, the Denver Broncos are sitting at 3-3. They're squaring off against the 2-4 New Orleans Saints, who are on a four-game losing streak. Are the Broncos playing the Saints at the right time?
I don't know how you could look at that injury report and think anything other than it's the right time for the Broncos. I mean, they're down not only their starting quarterback, Luke, but final injury report dropping today. Here's a list of names that you're not going to see in action tomorrow night. I mean, both their starting wide receivers, Cesar Ruiz on the offensive line is going to miss it. Let's see, even Taysom Hill is doubtful. So this is about as good of a swing at the Saints, Luke, as you could possibly get. And once again, you wrote about this in your takeaways piece. You've got, or your keys piece, you are looking at a rookie quarterback who not only is he a rookie, Luke, but this is a rookie that has already shown a penchant for coughing the ball up. So I think the stars are as aligned for a Sean Payton return to Caesar Superdome as possible, right? Like, it's lining up, but that's where you got to start feeling a little uncomfortable. You know, when you start just kind of expecting everything to go your way because of such alignment, that's when you got to start kind of snapping yourself out of that, because the game still has to be played.
Well, and the greatest fear is truly the unknown, right? What happens to these guys that we don't know all that much about who are coming up behind, you know, some of these starters that are out? You mentioned Olave. You mentioned Shaheed. Taysom Hill is doubtful. Alvin Kamara, he's a go. Got to worry about that threat. But overall, I think it's going to be a really, really fun game. I'm nervous as well. There's no such thing as an easy win in the league. Stu McPeak, what is going on, Stu? A very generous 1999 over on YouTube. Hi, all. Can the Broncos pull off a win in New Orleans?
Zeus, first of all, first face etched on the MHH Super Chat Superstar Mount Rushmore. This cat right here. So good to see you, brother. Thank you for the support. You know it means the world to us, big dog. And I picked the Broncos in the round table. Luke, you picked the Broncos in the round table. I kind of expect it. This is almost self-talk for your boy here, because all the stars are aligning for Sean Payton and this, you know, they proved themselves on the road on the East Coast earlier this season. All the stars are aligning. I can't just ignore that and how I pick the game. So I'm picking the Broncos to go in there, Luke, and win it relatively handily. Now, in modern context, with this team, handily means, you know, by like maybe a long score, but a single score nevertheless.
Yeah, well, let's look at the other side of the coin and who's not playing for your Denver Broncos. Pat Surtain, suffering that concussion on the first defensive snap. Bad luck. A guy just trying to make a play, did make a play, pass deflection against the Chargers. But ultimately, on a short week, we had a feeling Pat Surtain wouldn't be going. So he is out with a concussion. And surprise, surprise, it's going to be a second straight game without would-be backup tackle Alex Palcheski. Speaking of the right tackle position, Chad, you wrote about this over milehighhuddle.com earlier today. Two Denver Broncos have been designated to return from IR. Baron Browning, outside linebacker, who's been dealing with a foot injury, did return to practice in full today, along with right tackle Mike McGlinchey, who's been battling a knee injury. Chad, it was something interesting that you wrote about in your article over milehighhuddle.com. You had mentioned that they landed on IR at the exact same time in week two's loss against the Steelers. Here we are in week seven. Both guys are questionable against the Saints. Do you see them suiting up? Backup roles, perhaps? Or just getting back to action in practice?
I mean, they still have to officially activate them. Last I checked, they hadn't done that yet. I haven't received a press release on them officially activating them. But all the signs point to McGlinchey and Browning returning. So I'm going to expect them to, but you know, if it was Alex Palcheski, if he was still healthy, which he's not, right? He's out for this game as well. I'd be like, you know what? Take your time with McGlinchey. But we saw last week, Matt Parrott, not the greatest showing at right tackle. So I think they're going to do what they can to kind of get McGlinchey on the field ASAP. And The Rock, dude, checking in. What's up, bro? Always happy to see the mayor of the MHH Facebook community, Michael Ronquillo, checking in with some stars, contributing to the conversation, saying, good evening, Luke and Chad on Mile High Insiders. Go Bo Broncos. Right back at you, big dog. Much love and respect. Ralph Bracegirdle, also on Facebook, checking in. Appreciate the support. Says, good afternoon, guys. So thankful to go into a peaceful football space and not think about politics. Thanks for the retreat. Hashtag believe. Hashtag Denver Broncos for life. Well, yeah, we're happy that this is a politics-free place for us to talk about the thing that unites us.
Although I got to push back, there's some politics going on in the NFL right now. I don't know what you've seen with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Russell Wilson and the Justin Fields situation. You can't tell me there aren't some politics going around with the Pittsburgh Steelers and that crazy quarterback room, man. Russell Wilson expected to start in week 7, even though Justin Fields has led him to a 4-2 start. DW coming in, 96734 over on YouTube. Generous 25. Thank you very much. Great news to get Browning and the Glinch back. With Sertan out, both teams got their woes. Personally, I'd like to see two completely healthy teams go at it. I look for the secondary to make themselves known even without PS2. I completely agree with this, D-Dub, so much so that I am willing to go on record. I think Riley Moss gets a pick 6 in this game, Chad. I think Spencer Rattler's the type of quarterback that thinks because Pat Surtain's not out there, he can go out there and throw it against whoever he wants. Now, he didn't do bad in his first start against the Tampa Bay Bucs, 22 for 40, 243 yards and a tutty, but you mentioned those turnovers earlier. This is a guy who got hit 10 times by the Tampa Bay Bucs defense, 5 sacks, 2 interceptions, 1 fumble. The defensive secondary should have a good game for Vance Joseph. Look for Vance Joseph to be aggressive. I was tired of old VJ last week. I don't like old VJ. I like new VJ, where we're moving forward, attacking the quarterback. I hope to see it.
Dale, love you, big dog. Thank you so much. Checking in from Paradise. I feel good about it this time. I mean, they were kind of shell-shocked a little bit, Luke, when PS2 went down on the first defensive snap of the day, but now they've got a few practices. They got a game behind him, first of all, without PS2, and then a couple of, you know, they get to prepare as if he's not going to be there. The Broncos have known that it's unlikely he gets through concussion protocol in time for Thursday night. So I feel a lot better about this secondary, and it obviously helps a little bit going against an inexperienced rookie. Phil down in Tucson, proving every day, Broncos country, not a geographic location. It is, in fact, a state of being, and that's wherever you are, and that's where Phil's at. Well, that's what I'm assuming. Boom. Phil is a little bit of a globetrotter. He does like to travel. It could be in Ireland, could be in Tucson. I don't know, but he says, good evening, Chad, Luke, and Deacon Scott. I'm hoping to see Javonte Williams finally get a 100-yard game. Buckham, MHH for life, Broncos for life. What do you think, Luke? Because you were saying in the takeaways from the Chargers game, you're like, look, it's time to – face some facts here. It's time for you weren't necessarily saying get rid of Javonte. You were just saying it's time for the Broncos to go somewhere else for the lion's share of the RB1 snaps.
Yeah, I'm mad at Javonte. That's a nice way of saying I'm mad at Javonte Williams right now, Chad. I don't know what happened in that Chargers game last week. He doesn't look like himself on a weekly basis. Some weeks he looks good, other weeks he looks cold. Fumbling the ball has become a problem for Javonte Williams. Dropping the ball has been a problem for Javonte Williams. He hasn't scored a touchdown this season, obviously an issue, but hell, not many Broncos have, if we're being honest. And I would like to see what Audric Estime can do. There's some pieces up at milehighhuddle.com. I have also been advocating for Jaleel McLaughlin to get the ball more. You got to get him open in space. He's not a between the tackles back. He might be able to burst one every now and again. There are only two Denver Broncos whose names are not Bo Nix with multiple scoring touchdowns this season: Jaleel McLaughlin and Cortland Sutton. That has to change. You have to get a running game.
I agree. And let's hope Audric Estime can give them a little bit of a spark. The only thing that I think could hold him back from doing just that is ball security. And so that's something we got to keep an eye on, because I think you're going to see the stars are aligning for the Broncos to start trying to find someone who can give him something on the ground. And Pookie just too inconsistent, still running into the back of blockers, missing the cutback lanes. It's just not there for him. D-Dub jumping in again, bro. Thank you. Love you, big dog. He says, how about some MHH bold predictions? Luke got Moss with a pick 6. I'm going to say we come out of the game with a minimum 5 sacks. Anyone else? Ooh. I predicted in the round table and last night's show, or pardon me, Monday night show, a multi-sack game from Zach Allen. I think Allen's going to beast out, Luke. What do you got?
Yeah, Allen's been out of control. How about Jonathan Franklin Myers? Let's look for him to break out, too. He's been a beast against the run at times. I'd like to see him get in the backfield a little bit more. What we need is some offensive predictions. I love how everybody's going defense, but the offense has just been so damn inconsistent. Tight ends have been a problem. You wrote about the Broncos potentially looking at some tight ends via trade before the deadline in November over at MileHighHuddle.com. We've lamented about it all season. I've been writing about it. Eric's been writing about it. You've been writing about it. Everybody's been complaining about it and not having a tight end in the passing game. The Broncos don't have a tight end in the running game either. It's just unacceptable. I'd like to see what Donald Parham could do, maybe. That'd be nice. Let's look for another addition there or a target. Lucas Kroll, can we get on the board? I mean, let's look for some offensive playmakers. And yes, I did use the word playmakers in the Broncos synonymously. Look for Bo Nix to take care of the football himself if his teammates aren't going to do it. Run and gun. Do your thing, Bo.
Yeah, dude, it would be nice to see Bo Nix go out and have a fourth quarter against second half against the Raiders kind of day, but for four quarters, or even what we saw in Tampa Bay. And hey, who knows? Maybe it's just kind of an NFC South thing. Maybe he saves those days for when the Broncos, and they are playing the whole division this year, so the next opponent on that list happens to be the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, if I'm Bo Nix and my mentor slash guy who believes in me that handpicked me out of the draft amidst a lot of naysaying, he's going back home. A lot of like emotional storylines on the table here. I'm going to do what I can to come out and make him look like a genius and make him proud, so to speak. So maybe we are sleeping on Bo Nix. But Luke, the thing is with him, still, as a rookie, you talked about this earlier, but as a rookie, it's like, hey, we'll believe it when we see it. If we end up with a plus 500 record this year and the Broncos make the playoffs, to me, that's just icing on the cake. And what the cake is getting Bo Nix that precious experience so that this team is a force to be reckoned with in 25 and 26 and 27. You got to get him those reps. Cody Dubb, this is Zach and Jones' game. This is Zach and Jones game, Saints on their third center. Luke, your thoughts for Cody?
Yeah, D-line's got to come in here, Cody, for sure. When your secondary is struggling a little bit with injury, that's when the D-line has to catch up. It's usually been the opposite, Cody, for the Broncos, where you've had a defensive secondary with Pat Surtain, Justin Simmons at the time together, even a Kareem Jackson, but you had no pass rush after Draymond Jones left. He's just kind of left bare. That's not the case. I love the mentality of Zach Allen this season just to work. He doesn't necessarily need to be credited with every single sack, but he's getting a ton of pressures. I see all of our friends at MileHighHuddle.com writing about his PFF grades, and I'm not big into the PFF grade thing, man. It's not my thing. But anytime a Bronco is attached to a good grade, I'm going to retweet it and I'm going to follow it as if it is. Vance Joseph, this has to be a huge game for VJ. Not only Sean Payton, but VJ, I need you to continue to be yourself. Don't go back to those old shell games, literally, of just falling back and let's play a prevent defense. This is a rookie quarterback in Spencer Rattler, who, by the way, was connected with Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos for much of the NFL draft process. I think Sean probably has couple little words of advice for Vance Joseph on potential mismatches or how to take advantage of the former South Carolina and Oklahoma QB.
Yeah, let's get after him, baby. I mean, this still is, even without PS2 patrolling the secondary, this still is the NFL second-ranked defense in sacks right now. I mean, the Denver Broncos are bringing 22 sacks into week 7. That's the second most in the NFL. Meanwhile, the New Orleans Saints are giving up 10 sacks total, Luke. So that ties them for the sixth fewest in the NFL. This is, you know, unstoppable force meets immovable object type of situation here. But I'm going to err on the side of Vance Joseph and the Broncos just by virtue of it's a rookie.
Well, and speaking of sacks, how about one of their Pro Bowl and All-Pro defensive ends not having any in Cam Jordan? I wrote about it over at MileHighHuddle.com this week. I couldn't believe it. You know, it was kind of funny at the NFL Honor Society last year, Cam Jordan make fun of Sean Payton via like a song from Kelly Clarkson or something like that. All in good taste between the good friends and former player and head coach. But it was interesting. Cam Jordan said, Sean Payton can smell blood in the water. Regarding the Saints' four-game losing streak, it's going to mean something extra to Sean Payton. But I was flabbergasted when I pull up the defensive stats for the Saints. Dennis Allen, a defensive guy, by the way, one of Sean Payton's boys from the old guard. and his star pass rusher doesn't have a single sack, you know he's going to want to change that, especially against a struggling offensive line who hasn't gotten things going by any means. Now, they've had some good games keeping Bo safe without QB sacks, but I venture to say there hasn't been too many games this season where Bo Nix hasn't been hit. Look for Bo to make quick decisions and get moving. One thing that I hated seeing last week, Chad, was seeing Bo retreat to the backfield. Try to do that little spin with the back thing. Never give your back to the line of scrimmage unless your name is Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick. It's just not going to happen if you're Bo Nix. It was something that really bothered me last week. Sean Payton's got to clean it up. I get it's an emotional game. You're coming home to New Orleans, but you've got to execute some poise and patience. I wrote about it in my keys to victory over at milehighhuddle.com.
You know, the thing about Bo Nix, it was one of the hallmarks of his game in college, and it has persisted. It was one of the things that most impressed Sean Payton and the Broncos, and he's talked a lot about it since the season started too, and that is, Luke, he's a tough sack, meaning it's hard to get Bo Nix on the ground, not just because for the most part he's an on time, you know, and even when he's not on time, he's got a really good pocket presence, kind of knows when to bail. We've seen some rookie moments, as you iterated earlier, but he's only been sacked 9 times through 6 starts. That's tied for the 4th fewest in the NFL. So I don't know if this is the game that stacks up for Cam Jordan to start getting on the board with the sacks, but we'll see. It's trending anyway, Luke, to shake up slightly on the offensive line with the veteran, and I do that with air quotes, Mike McGlinchey coming back into the fold, it looks like, because solid, really good run blocker since the Broncos gave him all that money, Luke, but I've still been woefully unimpressed by what he brings to the table as a pass blocker. Now you're dealing with a month of rust.
Yeah, it's gonna bring an interesting predicament into this. And Thomas asked about this weeks ago on the show. He even asked Cecil Lammy, now that I think about it, 2 weeks ago on the show. He says, what happens if Alex Palcheski is playing good and Mike McGlinchey? Alex Palcheski's hurt. So that one goes out the window. Mike McGlinchey, you got to come in. We're paying you a bag. I'm with you. He's been very underwhelming, to say the least. But I got to ask you about Bo Nix, and I want to open this up to Broncos country because this is a hot button issue and it's been bothering me all week. There's two sides to every coin. I saw a lot of overreaction on Monday regarding the Broncos' loss to the Chargers in Denver. Some folks feel that Bo Nix should have been benched or should still be benched, giving the nod to either Jarrett Stidham or Zach Wilson. I do not agree with that. The Broncos have only scored 10 touchdowns as a team. Bo Nix is responsible for 8 of those, 5 passing, 3 rushing. I get that Bo Nix did not play very well against the Chargers. But Chad, in my opinion, once you start Bo Nix, you can't undo that work after just 6 games. He's got to be QB1.
It's just, and look, I understand it because Broncos country has extremely high standards when it comes to both the standings, Luke, and of course the quarterback position for obvious reasons. It's emotions of the moment. I don't take it too seriously just because, look, he's your first round pick. You chose to start him. And even though Sean Payton would never admit this in August, right, after they made the announcement, hey, coach, you know, if he's not playing well or if you things aren't working out the way you want it to, are you going to have the fortitude to bench him just like any other, you know, starter if they're not pulling their weight, so to speak? And he wanted to make it sound like, of course, they would never do that. In terms of they would, he's on the same, you know, we'll call it deal as everybody else. If you don't play the way we need you to, you're going to sit down. But of course you can't. Once you make that decision on a rookie quarterback, it's first round one at that, he's your starter. You can't move off it. You got to let him go through your lumps. And look at it like this, guys, and then we'll grab GGG here. Every time Bo Nix bumps his head, that's the closer we get as a fan base to the Broncos being a force to be reckoned with again. He needs that experience, Luke. He needs those live bullet reps. He needs the trial and error learning curve. It's a crucible, baby, and that's how the iron sharpens iron. But GG, jumping in, if we lose, Luke, should we trade for Mike Williams?
How bad did you lose? Did your receivers put up any points? I'm not being facetious. I mean, it's been bare on the Broncos offense. We talked about it earlier. Jaleel McLaughlin, Cortland Sutton, the only two Broncos with 2+ touchdowns, not named Bo Nix. I think the Broncos should explore any and every option right now. If you could get Mike Williams for next to nothing, I'd take a look at him, a gander at him if he was released. All right. I don't want to give anything up for a Mike Williams, for an injured player, injury prone player, I should say, who hasn't done a lot with the Jets. Now, he's made memorable plays against the Denver Broncos. I totally get that. And I see the point here. And Triple G's right. We're seeing all these wide receivers being traded. You see Devontae Adams reunite with Bay in New York, Aaron Rodgers. And then, sure enough, Amari Cooper apparently is going to be the answer to the Buffalo Bills woes up there in the AFC North. I ask you, Chad, should the Denver Broncos explore the wide receiver position ahead of the trade deadline? I know you wrote an article about the tight end, but they could use both.
The answer is absolutely they should explore adding some wide receiver / receiving weaponry around Bo Nix. Mike Williams, look, the Broncos already have six foot four possession receivers coming out of their ears. What they need are guys who have a little bit more twitch and wiggle to them. Imagine Marvin Mims Jr. if he actually had wherewithal as a wide receiver. Like, if he had his game as a receiver down. That's the frustrating part here, Luke, is that's the type of difference maker that you could really use on offense. And you've seen the Broncos trying to get him a little bit more involved, but he just isn't answering the bell. Instead of going after a guy like Mike Williams, and again, I'm saying keep an eye open on the trade market, explore opportunities if you're George Payton and Sean Payton. Instead, though, expect to see Devon Vele, expect to see Troy Franklin work more and more into this offense as time marches on. That's where I think you can expect to see, thank you, Mr. Producer, the biggest return on the biggest bang for your buck the soonest. Naj, the true shot of life that he is, a legendary, mythical Super Chat superstar, jumping in to say, hey, brothers, no excuses this week. The offense needs to show up and play that complimentary football. Kudos, by the way, for getting the right spelling on your usage of the word complimentary. That most people don't get it. They would drop
that's
an
true.
Eye there.
That's true.
Saints will be up big time for this game. Overestimating ourselves will lead to trouble. Need to come in and dominate. And that's what I'm saying. That's kind of, Naj, what I was getting at early in tonight's show. And Luke, is look, the stars are aligning, right? It's a return back. Broncos have done well on the road so far this year, better than at home. The opponent's banged up, and they're starting a rookie that likes to cough it up. You would think, let's start licking our lips and sink our teeth in. But that's typically when you start getting a little too high on your horse, that's when you get bucked. You know, we don't buck that noise. We don't want to deal with that bucking stuff anytime soon. We need a buck and win at Caesar Superdome.
Well, here's a question for you in Broncos country, because I don't know the answer. Is this the first game of the NFL season where you get some rookie v. rookie crime in Spencer Rattler versus Bo Nix? What we could be looking at. We have no idea what kind of game this could be. I think at times, Naj, Sean Payton has overcomplicated this offense for Bo Nix and everybody else. It feels that way, at least in the first half of a lot of games. Then it's almost like they go to halftime. Sean erases the grease board. We start over and we go back to basics. Can we start with the basics? I feel like it could be one of my takeaways every single week after every Bronco game, win or loss. But you're exactly right, Chad. Naj knows this. We've got to look to some new blood. Vele. Lil Jordan Humphrey. I mean, who wants to make a play? Cortland Sutton. I wrote about it in MileHighHuddle.com. You need to force feed him the football this game. So what? You're going to throw a turnover? You're going to throw a pick? I can live with that. You're going to throw those picks anyway, baby. You're a rookie, and this is the NFL. This is the week to go after the passing game. This is the week to establish a rushing game. This is a week to make a respectable offense. And it's something Naj wants to see continued. I'm the same way. I immediately think about what Sean Payton said when he first came to Denver. Lots of Saints talk, right? Well, in New Orleans, we did this. Well, in New Orleans, we did this. One thing really stuck with me. He talked about Club Dub. And for those of you that don't know what Club Dub is, he talked about a sound system that the Saints invested in at the time. So when the Saints would win on the road, other teams could hear Sean Payton and his crew celebrating in the locker room. I want Club Dub to be rocking and rolling in the Denver Broncos locker room this Thursday night. It's going to be a huge game. It's not going to be easy. I get that they're different conference opponents, but this game has major ramifications for the Denver Broncos other than Sean Payton's ego.
See, and here's where we get back into the people. So many people down on Knicks. But at the same time, you got to see the encouraging signs. And I see them as harbingers. Like, the fact, Luke, that he I mean, much was made about the fact that he was the first rookie to be named the starting quarterback out of camp since John Elway. Well, then he goes on to become the first rookie quarterback to win three in a row for your Denver Broncos. Last week, he sets a franchise record. It used to be 10 receivers caught a pass in a game. That was the franchise single game record. He broke that last week with 11. Phil's jumping in to say, Nick's has to finish the season as the starter. It's the only way we know what we have. How many players will catch a ball from Nick's in this game? Because again, it was 11 last week. Luke, I'm going to say it's somewhere between probably 7 and 9. If it ends up being 11, great. But again, it shows you the way this thing is trending. He's not just like locking in, to use your word when you're talking about Cortland Sutton, and I don't disagree with you, but he's not just force feeding blindly, right? Like right. He is going where the ball says it, the play says, and the coverage it should go. It's just that, as Sean Payton talks about, we need to paint a better picture around him. Sounds like a cop-out, but it's actually true, and it was especially true, Luke, the first three games of the year. They finally came alive in Tampa Bay, but these guys, he's getting them the ball. He's getting let down a lot by his supporting cast. Now, he would never say that, but Sean Payton will say it in his coach speak kind of way.
Boom, Cody Dubs circling back around. Thank you for the active chat tonight, Broncos country. We are rocking and rolling here on MHI. He is Chad Jensen. Get it, Chad, over on X, at Chad N. Jensen. Scott's rocking with us as well, at Scout Kennedy. Yours truly, at Luke Patterson LP. Head on over to the mothership, mahahuddle.com. Also give this pod a follow, at MHI underscore pod. Cody Dubs, get David Njoku in the building. Last year was his best season. He's 28. Still has a couple years left on him. Yeah, Cody, this was an article that's been written over at MileHighHuddle.com. The Broncos need to look at any and every position, not only stopping with the wide receivers, starting with the tight ends, but hell, let's look at some offensive linemen. Guys are starting to get banged up. This cannot continue. It's not sustainable to just hope the Broncos are going to get Mike McGlinchey back and he's going to be good for the rest of the year. We could lean on Matt Peart. No. You're going to have to start. Maybe Freight Crumb gets some of these reps, right? Talk about the crucible, baptism by fire. There's nothing more crazy than putting a rookie offensive lineman out there and saying good luck. It's the case every single week in the league. Robert coming back in, $2 super over on YouTube. Much love from Nevada. Yeah, I am 100% behind Bo Nix. MHH for life. Man, you're out there in enemy territory, Robert. I just got done watching Receiver, Chad. Robert, I don't know if you saw this over on Netflix, man. And I'm not a Vegas guy. Like, even when the Shrine game's down there, I don't like Vegas. I'm not like a big night guy and stuff like that. But I don't know how NFL players can live in Las Vegas, let alone Robert with those damn Raider fans.
I know, dude. I grew up not far from Vegas. So all the nightlife stuff and like going to see bands and stuff like that. I mean, I spent the majority of my teens and early 20s in Vegas. I hate it, dude. I cannot stand Vegas. The second I crest, whether I'm driving or if I'm flying, as soon as I see that, valley and the smog, and I mean, it's just a gross town. Raiders fit it perfectly, for what it's worth. Like, they do fit there. But yeah, Robert, keep your chin up in enemy territory, big dog. And yes, you should be 100% behind Bo Nix. Look, for better or for worse, whether you were in on Bo Nix as a prospect, whether you thought the Broncos should have tried to do something different in the draft, whatever, bottom line is they didn't. They drafted Bo Nix. Once they made the decision to go with him as the starter, you cannot look back. You can't. You just got to grind through it, get through it. And so far, I got to tell you, like, the metrics have been a little bit less than ideal, let's just say, right? But he did finally balance the scales in terms of his touchdown to interception ratio. He's got all that rushing production. There's a lot to be encouraged about. Just be careful, Robert, and this goes for everybody else. 2, getting caught up in the looking over the fence, then grass is greener, seeing what's going on in Washington, seeing what's going on in Chicago. Oh my gosh, Drake May threw a touchdown in his first ever, you know, NFL start. Just keep it focused on what Bo Nix is doing. And right now, Luke, he's got a chance to have his team going into a little bit of a mini bye if they can take care of business in the Bayou at 4-3 with this team.
Well, that's just it.
Be excited.
That's just it, Chad. I mean, it's a roller coaster. What goes up must come down. And you will see Jaden Daniels, who was my favorite quarterback prospect. I was not high on Bo Nix at all. I'll be the first to tell you. But the second he was drafted, I got on board and I'm excited. Why? Because I want the Broncos to do well. I want them to have finally found their franchise quarterback. And I'm willing to give a rookie QB who's played a lot of football, Oregon and Auburn, a chance. It makes sense to me. I'm a Sean Payton guy. Doesn't mean I agree with everything Sean does, but you have to lean into it with Bo Nix. Whoops.
Hit it. So, my bad. That was me, bro. We're like minds, you know.
Stu, coming back in, man. Circling back around. And I got to know the nickname, right? I heard you refer to Stu as Zeus. Well, tell me the
peak.
Yeah, tell me the background real quick before we get to man. Stu.
Zeus, I want to say, Stu, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I want to say Zach coined that. You know, just how it was like when we first started doing the podcast as live streams and the kind of community and culture that was built out of that.
Yeah.
Stu played a big part in that, not only in the Super Chat superstar realm of supporting us and encouraging us, but like the way he would contribute to the conversation and the way he influenced kind of the superstar culture around MHH. And that was the nickname. You know, we have these nicknames and our own little love language with the bona fide Super Chat superstars, especially the OGs. And I want to say it was Zach that coined.
I love it. I love it. I love Greek mythology. I love Nordic mythology. I've got a dog named Thor, for crying out loud. So I can definitely lean into some Zeus. What's up, Stu? John Elway struggled in his first year. Great reminder. We, as in Broncos country, have waited 8 years. We need to have some patience with Bo Nix. I'm behind him all the way. Stu/Zeus, my guy, I absolutely agree with you in this one. And it's easy to forget about all the mistakes. Last I checked, Bo hasn't lined up behind the guard yet to take a snap. So there's that for anybody out there who's panicking about Bo Nix. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go on and win Super Bowls and then become a GM and the Lord of Denver, the Duke of Denver, if you will. But I think one thing Broncos country's frustrated with is Sean Payton's play calling. Maybe Bo Nix's teammates. I saw this in the chat earlier. People are already booing Bo Nix out at the stadium. I don't think there's so much booing Bo Nix as I think they're booing the Broncos in general. Chad, we were there at the Steelers game. Yep. Scott, you were there. There were boos. Hell, I was booing. I don't know. Some people boo. Some people don't. Reserve your right to do your own thing. But I don't necessarily think all the hate, if you will, is going towards Bo. It's more of a, gosh darn it, here we go again.
Well, agreed, dude. And that's the thing is, one of the reasons I was excited about Bo Nix landing in Denver was I'm like, hey, ideal quarterback for the Sean Payton thing. And yet we're seeing Sean Payton, at least from the outside looking in, kind of not necessarily, I'm not going to go so far as to say he's failing as rookie quarterback, but you touched on something earlier. And this was actually something too that Zach hammered on after Sunday's game. And that is, why is it taking so long to come out of the script when you see that it's not working? Like the West Coast teams, we do the 15 to 20 plays that are scripted based on our game plan. Sean Payton sticks to those, dude, like religiously. And by the time, if it's working, it's only really worked so far. The script in one game, Tampa Bay. That's the only game that the Broncos got out to a modicum of a decent first quarter start. So that's really so far this year anyway, Luke. The only game you can point to in Sean Payton's offensive scripting set and say that it went according to plan. So we want to see him, Sean Payton, that is, have a little bit better tact, presence of mind to recognize, okay, it's not working the way we thought it was going to work in our game plan. Let's take the time right now to make those adjustments, Luke, instead of halftime and then come out in the third quarter. And by the time we get those ducks in a row, it's the fourth quarter and then we're finally actually getting somewhere. It's the league, dude. Very rarely do you get the miracle Tim Tebow finishes like you saw game after game in 2011. Most of the time, it's going to be like what you saw in against the Chargers. Close, but no cigar.
Too little, too late. The story of the Denver Broncos offense, at least last week. We're hoping they can get on a roll. And George firing away, given his impression of the Denver Broncos offense. This is what I see. The Broncos need better play calling in the first quarter. So talking about the script, so you and I are complaining about Sean Payton waiting too long to make his adjustments. George is coming in here with a really good perspective of that script ain't been so good lately for Sean Payton, and he has stuck to it. You and I have had this conversation off air. I've asked you, I've been waiting to write about it. I'm trying to be patient, but what does offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi do? It is an absolute sin and shame that I forget that the man exists. His last name is Lombardi. His grandfather has the damn trophy, and I forget that the man exists. I don't know how much Sean Payton leans on Joe Lombardi. I don't know if he's part of the film prep. I don't know how much work he does with Bo. We see, what, Davis Webb all the time. They're talking about Davis Webb. Davis Webb, such a great quarterback coach. Such a great quarterback coach. Okay, how much does Sean Payton trust his offensive assistants? Does he lean on them to just support him, or does he ask for their collective input? I think that could be something that at least I'm curious about moving forward.
The problem is Sean Payton, he comes from that Bill Parcellian tight-lipped football espionage, you know, we tell you nothing kind of thing. And so you could ask him, hey, coach, what is it that Joe Lombardi does? You're never going to get a straight answer. And the only way you're actually going to get to the bottom of that is through years and years of observing and practical application and deductions and, you know, draw. You're never going to get a straight answer. My answer for you, what does he do? Honestly, I'm not sure he's much more, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, Luke.
Right, right.
No, I'm not sure he's much more than an eye in the sky kind of quality control guy. I'm not sure, because we know who calls the plays. I would guess that Lombardi contributes quite a lot to the processes that are involved in scouting the next opponent and game planning and all that stuff, I'm sure. But it's in name only. It's a nominal title. We know who's actually coordinating and calling this offense.
Well, and maybe he's an emotional support for Sean, and I don't say that with any jest or any ill will. We all need support, and the NFL, hell, I think you need a lot of support. I think you really have more enemies than you do have friends if you're Sean Payton. Success kind of does that to somebody, but it's been a little while since we've had some success, Sean, so it's time to get it going. Phil, circling back around over on Facebook. Thank you so much, Phil. What would you guys think about the Broncos coming out in a hurry-up offense?
Dude, I love this idea because it's different, right? It's something that, first of all, when we've seen the Broncos go tempo, it seems like Bo Nix is a little bit more comfortable, and it makes sense why, right? Like, he didn't have to huddle till he was a freaking pro collecting millions of dollars, so he's a lot more comfortable and confident in those scenarios, and he knows this playbook, he knows the scheme. Like, he's a very smart rookie, and the football IQ is there. I like the hurry up idea as something to start with early because it is different and it's not something that the Broncos have shown opponents up to this point to start games. So, Luke, why the heck not?
I love it too. That's a really good idea, Phil. Here's what I like about it. I think I've been saying since Bo's been drafted, I think Bo is built in the image of Sean Payton. I've been lamenting for weeks that Sean Payton is overcomplicating this offense. What if two things are true at the same time? What if Sean Payton is overcomplicating the offense and Bo Nix is overthinking the offense? The no huddle, as Phil's mentioning, that alleviates all of that. We're going one or two reads. You're zeroing in on your target. Can we get some RPO in there? Can we talk about that now? I've been waiting for weeks to mention RPO because I do not want Bo Nix to be an option read quarterback or anything like that. But for crying out loud, when something's not working, you've got to change. You can't just keep taking on water and you can't keep giving it to the defense saying, here, you win it for us. Eventually, that gets really old. Teams fall apart and teams don't go to the playoffs for the last 8 years, kind of like the Denver Broncos. Cody Dubs, very accurate and active in the chat tonight over on YouTube. We are 3-3 and have the highest total dead cap in the NFL, $76 million. I would say the Denver's looking pretty good for what's given. They get my gratitude on that. I like it, Cody. We're grateful, baby. We're grateful here on MHI.
That's a part of, and again, this isn't to detract from Broncos country having the high standards and high expectations, but this is a great illustration of why Broncos fans just need to be a little bit more chill on this. Again, you're at 3-3 with a rookie quarterback and rookies all over this roster, young, unproven guys. You know, the television broadcasts, Luke, love bringing up that there's only one first rounder on the defense. I mean, this is about as young and untested a roster as there is in the NFL. And this illustrates why you've got 76 million dollars that your opponents get to spend on personnel, chilling on dead cap that you don't get to because of some previously bad decision making. But I digress on that. That's a good perspective super chat, Cody, and I thank you for having the gumption to say that, because people, Luke, they, I'm just not a negative type of person anyway. Like, even if I start having negative thoughts, the natural inside Chad is going, nah, dude, no. I'm moving off that really quick, because negativity doesn't get you anywhere. And that doesn't mean that you're blindly optimistic, Luke. That doesn't mean that you're just a fool and a sucker and a stan and all that stuff. But, like, have some perspective. This team has a chance going into a mini bye of being at 4-3 with all of the obstacles that it's had to overcome, including the gutsy decision, Luke, to start a rookie quarterback out of the gates. I'm stoked on what I've seen so far, as imperfect as it's been. Are there areas that they could clean up? We've talked a lot about them tonight. Absolutely, there are. But let's also give credit where it's due. I mean, they went on the road. Broncos suck on the road. East Coast plus back-to-back and with a rookie, and you beat Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield. These aren't exactly schlubs. So no. Tip your cap, give credit where it's due.
100%. And it's just odd to me that the Broncos have a better away record than they do home right now. They're 2-1 on the road. Didn't see that coming. And I was drinking the orange Kool-Aid, maybe just a little bit too much. Maybe not. I gave the Broncos season prediction. I sat at 9-8. Tom went out on the record at 7-10. And I know Scott and Nick are sitting at 6-11. Do you remember what your season prediction was or what Zach's was? Because I got to be honest, 9-8 still seems obtainable to me. I'm wondering about 10 wins a little bit. When they win, I wonder about 10 wins. And when they lose, I think about adding another loss to the column. But ultimately, Cody's exactly right, man. I mean, starting 0-2 and going into their first primetime matchup this season against the New Orleans Saints, the homecoming of Sean Payton in Louisiana, and you're a 500 football team? Wow, that does impress me. Is it good enough? Not at all. But it's something that we haven't seen around here in a while, at least the Broncos record to start the season.
Yeah. You guys can correct me if I'm misremembering this, but I'm pretty sure for Zach and I, for whatever reason, we kind of never got around to officially going on the record with a season prediction. But it's little things, a couple things. Everybody heard me say multiple times that the over-under on the Broncos was ridiculously low, that they were going to go heavy on the over there. My general thing has been expecting somewhere around 8-10 wins this season, even with a rookie. And I said, now maybe that was over. That kind of shows you, look, how maybe I can be overly optimistic at times. Like, a good example is like Nick Kendall. He's so pragmatic that it can be easily perceived as negative, but he's just black and white. You know, it's the numbers, it's the details. That's just what it is. He's not going to sugarcoat it. He's not going to BS you. He's going to tell you the truth. But, Luke, I'm thinking before the season started, all I can remember ever saying on record was way over on the over-under of 5.5 wins, and that I expected it to be somewhere between an 8-10 win season. And so far it's kind of trending in that general direction, but it could end up being better, could end up being worse. Some of that has to do with how healthy they stay on offense, to be honest with you. But I think it's trending for like a 9-win season, to be honest with you.
That's fair. I think that's fair. And everybody's reserves the right to change their mind. I'm so tired in this life that we live in 2024. You can't change your mind. Sure, you can change your mind. Just tell us why. Add a little context to it. That's what makes this thing fun. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Mountain, it's MHI. He's Chad Jensen. We got Scott Kennedy rocking with us. I am yours truly, Luke Patterson, rocking and rolling with Zeus circling back in over on YouTube. I said 9-8 as well, but I have orange blood. I hear you, man. It's so hard. I'm the worst at the beginning of the season, Chad, because I'm right there with you. Hope springs eternal. And then that first loss, I'm like, oh my God, everything is horrible. This is the Broncos are going down. No, that's not the case. I don't know if you do pick 'em. I do like a free pick 'em every week just to see how the games are. And it's like a grocery contest here in Denver, but I am wrong on so many games. And I feel like when you go down the list and you see the guys and gals that are successful, this league of parity, Chad, it is so hard to win. It is so hard to pick games right and wrong for us to sit up here. And I'm not saying you're doing it, but I'm kind of doing it. The Saints are hurt. They're banged up. Their two starting receivers are out. Their starting guard is out. There's one of their tight ends is questionable. Alvin Kamara's a go, but he's banged up. They've got a rookie quarterback. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I don't know, man. I think it could be a very close game. The Broncos are hurt also. They're without Passer Tan. They're without their backup right tackle, still rolling third string Matt Pert. I think it could be a close, dare I say, trap game.
But see, that's part of, again, you bring up the parity. That's why the NFL remains the 800-pound gorilla, $20 billion a year nut. Like, I've recently, Luke, gotten into MMA, and anybody who actually knows me is like, really? You're getting into, like...
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like, welcome, bro. Welcome.
Yeah. You know, I'll give credit where it's due. It was through watching a Conor McGregor documentary on YouTube, and all of a sudden I got, like, into it. Now I'm kind of, like, into it. But I was watching an interview with Dana White, the president, CEO, or whatever, of UFC, and he's talking about how when they got started, you know, they could barely find any kind of network interest in what they were doing. And then you fast forward today, and he genuinely believes that, even though it's not the case right now, he genuinely believes that the UFC could eventually unseat the number one sports property in the North American markets, which is the NFL. And one of the reasons the NFL remains that juggernaut is, first of all, the romance of the game. Like, people used to romanticize baseball and it being America's pastime, and for good reason. It's a beautiful game. But NFL, man, the violence and the strategy and just all the nuances,
the drama,
that's also part of what the drama, part of what makes it so beautiful. And you just never know. Any given Sunday holds true to this day, Luke. And that's applies obviously for a Thursday night game too. But I'm picking the Broncos. I was maybe a little bit bullish in my score prediction now that I think about it, but I'm expecting the Broncos to overcome the emotions and the Sean Payton's return storylines and get a dub.
Sean Payton get booed when he takes the field. I know you wrote about it earlier this week.
I think so. Don't you? I mean, if you're a Saints fan, put yourself in their shoes. He's your all-time winningest coach. He's there for 16 years. He wins your only Super Bowl that you have. Your Peyton Manning, so your Drew Brees retires. A year later, he says, I'm going to retire too. No one internally truly believed he was going to retire. It was just his way to kind of extricate himself from the Saints' sitch. A year later, he pops back up in Denver. They're going to be bitter, and justifiably so. Let them be bitter.
I love it, man. Talk about the drama of the NFL. That's exactly it, man. Sean's homecoming to New Orleans. I don't think they're going to be cheering him. Yeah, they're going to be booing him. For the Saints, Sean's the devil they know. All right? Like, you can't stand him when he's against you, but you love him when he's yours, right? That maybe that Dennis Rodman, that Bill Roman. I don't want to go Bill Romanowski. Some bad examples there. But, you know, he's your villain. He's your bad guy. And I think they will always appreciate Sean Payton. He'll always have a spot in Saints history as the most successful franchise head coach ever. But they want some get back on Sean Payton, just like he wants some get back on them. I think it's interesting. Cam Jordan's little angle, if you will, that Sean can smell blood in the water. I'm excited for all of it. Dude,
there is one thing to interject here. That's a little bit of a wild card. And obviously the Saints chose to do what I'm about to say this week for a reason, but Drew Brees getting honored at halftime for. So there's,
I didn't know that. From what I didn't know that.
There's a New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame and New Orleans Saints Ring of Fame, two different things from what I understood listening to Sean Payton. But Drew Brees getting honored for the New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame at halftime, so it creates even some additional, Luke, emotional undertones. Because if you're Sean Payton, you want to be able to celebrate your boy that you guys created so much in that house and let him have his flowers, but you got to keep your eye on the prize. Like, they're trying to complicate it, the Saints, as much for Sean Payton as possible. Thank you, Ronk. Love you, big dog. Great show tonight, Luke and Chad, on the Mile High Insiders. Go Bo Broncos. So, yeah, watch for the emotions. It's going to be hard to overcome them, but I do think the Broncos find a way.
I did not know that they were honoring Drew Brees. That's very interesting. Saints fans, if there are any Saints fans in here, maybe you troll a Saints fan that you know. Are Saints fans going to be mad when Drew Brees is standing on the Broncos sideline dabbing up Sean Payton and Bo Nix? Drew's come to Denver, right? He's come to practice. Sean and Drew are still tight. All the comparisons, right? Everybody, any quarterback that Sean Payton has an element to Drew Brees to him. I'm getting real tired of that. Bo's Bo, and we're still getting to know Bo Nix. Bo Nix is still trying to figure out the NFL, but I've been very impressed with his competitive nature and his maturity. I love the fact that Bo Nix doesn't have to have a camera in his face all the time. I love the fact that Bo Nix isn't on social media. I love the fact that Bo Nix is about that work. And I think he understands what this week means to not only the franchise, the Denver Broncos picking up a huge win on primetime football. When's the last time that happened? Was it the Bills game last year? Cortland Sutton and the field goal mishap and everything else? Was that the last primetime game that the Broncos have won? Because last I checked, they don't get a lot of primetime games, Chad, and for good reason, because they've sucked. That's changing this year. People are curious about the Denver Broncos. A week ago, they would have been in the playoffs, right? If they would have started today. They're still right there at 3-3, third place in the AFC West, but second place in the division. That's wide open.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think they only had two primetime games this year. When year one, Russ gets here via trade, they're like, oh, Broncos are back. Here's five primetime games. And we just sucked it up in all but, I think, one of them, if memory serves. Like, the NFL's like, oh, okay, lesson learned. So even with Sean Payton coming in last year, they're like, okay, it's Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. How bad could it be? Let's go ahead and put them on primetime. This time they're like two, and one of them's a Thursday night game. That's it. That's all you're getting. And none on Sunday night football. Sunday, it used to be, Luke, when you and I were kids, Monday night, that was the preeminent primetime. That's where they saved the juiciest, the best. Now it's Sunday night football. I'm not sure exactly why and how that shifted, but Broncos omitted from Sunday night football this year.
And as excited as I am about Thursday night football, I don't know about you, Broncos country, I don't like watching it on Prime. I don't like the streaming services doing this, because this is another thing that I have to flip over. I'm old man moment, right? Chad's just now teaching me how to use Instagram, everybody. So stay tuned at Luke Patterson LP or whatever it's called. But I don't like Prime. I'm not a fan. It has nothing to do with the broadcast team. It has nothing to do with any of that other than I'm an old man and I don't want to switch over to my streaming service. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
That's true, guys. Luke Patterson recently joining Instagram. And if you follow him on Twitter, it's easy to remember because it's the same handle, Luke Patterson LP on IG. So find him, follow him. And hey, don't feel too bad, Luke, because as someone who has managed vast social media followings for over a decade, I was very late to the party on Instagram. I didn't kind of get wise to how it works and all that stuff till about a year ago. So don't feel too bad, my dog. And I'm trying to get Zach on that horse as we speak as well. He created an account not too long ago. I don't know, 6 months ago, but trying to get him in the zone as well. And by the way, guys, we're about out of time. So this is your 2 minute warning for any burning supers, any burning questions. Get them in the chat now. We'll get to it before we bounce.
Boom. News of the day here on MHI. The Broncos have designated two players for return from injured reserve. Outside linebacker Baron Browning's coming back from a foot, as well as right tackle Mike McGlinchey with a knee. Both are questionable to play in the Saints game. Broncos that will be out against the Saints. Surprise, surprise. Patrick Surtain with a concussion. Right tackle Alex Palcheski with an ankle. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com. We've got all kinds of seething content over there right now, including yours truly, keys to victory against the Saints, as well as Cam Jordan's comments on Sean Payton's return. Chad Jensen has articles up there as well. This is a big one, guys. The Saints are down some serious starters. The Saints are beat up. Olave and Shaheed, the starting wide receivers, are officially out. Taysom Hill is doubtful. Cesar Ruiz, starting offensive guard, he is listed out as well. And Alvin Kamara is a full go. Friendly reminder, Spencer Rattler versus Bo Nix, rookie v. rookie, coming tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football.
Totally true, guys. And who would have guessed, like if someone would have said to you, Luke, right before the season started, hey, guess what? The Broncos are going to be second in the NFL in sacks. True or false? Broncos are going to be second in the NFL in sacks going into week 7, and Baron Browning will have participated in like one game. Would you have said true or false?
False, 100%. I'd tell you, VJ can't get to the quarterback. When has he ever got to the quarterback? He's a secondary coach, Chad. He has no defensive aggression. I'm hoping we don't see any of that light regression from the Chargers heading into week 7.
But guys, this has been a blast. Luke, thanks for the invite. Always like chopping it up with you, bro. Having a blast. It's always also great to see everybody on a Wednesday night. Our pod used to go on Wednesday nights, and finally, the missus, she's like, look, you know, you do have a family. And so I said, hey, we're going to relinquish Wednesday night. We're going to put Luke, and at the time it was Luke and Nick on Wednesday nights. Now it's Luke and Tom. Don't worry, guys. By the way, I saw a question about Tom. Everything's cool with Tom. He just couldn't make it tonight. But And so I have missed the Wednesday crowd every night. It's just a little bit different audience that you're talking to. Some, you know, that has the common themes of the different people in the community without fail. And then there's certain people that will show up on Wednesday nights. They'll show up on Monday nights. They'll show up on Tuesday or morning shows or whatever. So it's fun to always kind of pop in. But being able to talk about the Broncos the night before a game with Luke Patterson, good times.
No, I appreciate it, Chad. I appreciate it, Scott. I appreciate all you Broncos country. This show is a continual labor of love. Chad, you know how that is, man. I appreciate the opportunity. Chad Jensen gave me this opportunity many moons ago. We actually started on Saturday. Broncos country remembers that. Yep. We worked our way all the way up to the primetime spot on Wednesday. And speaking of that, guys, don't forget about our very own My Friends. I'm a huge fan of their show, Orange and Blue View Podcast, every Saturday night, 6 p.m. Mountain. You could catch DVA and Ron White in the house. You'll never know who's going to stop by that show as well. Super, super fun show. Guys, head on over to milehighhuddle.com. Give us a read. Check out all of our content. Head on over to the mothership on X at Mile High Huddle. You can reach Chad at Chad N. Jensen, Scott at Scout Kennedy, yours truly at Luke Patterson LP. Broncos country, Sean Payton heading to New Orleans. This is the way.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.